Hey there, Yag here. Before we jump into the show today, I have some exciting news to share. As of this month, we are officially part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. This means we are now part of the leading B2B podcast network designed to help professionals like you get inspired, learn, and grow. The ABM Conversations podcast is now alongside other great podcasts like My First Million with Sam Parr and Sean Puri, The Salesman with Will Barron, and I Digress with Troy Sandridge. Check out all these shows and more at HubSpot.com/podcast network. And now to the show.
Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world.
Hello and welcome to another brand new episode of the ABM Conversations podcast. And this is me, your host Yag. In today's episode, we are going to discuss content promotion and distribution in the B2B SaaS space. Everyone talks about repurposing content, distributing it well, and increasing the shelf life of the high-quality content you created, and a lot more. But today, we have someone with us whose action speaks more than words. Google anything in the world of marketing, and you can be certain that his post will be among the top five. You probably guessed it. Today, we have with us the one and only Neil Patel, the man behind brands like Crazy Egg, Kissmetrics, and Ubersuggest. If you are in marketing, Neil needs absolutely no introduction. And for any freshers listening to this, he is the co-founder of 4 multi-million dollar software companies and has helped companies of all sizes maximize their revenue. The Wall Street Journal calls him a top influencer on the web. Forbes says he's one of the top 10 online marketers. And the Entrepreneur magazine says he created one of the top 100 most brilliant companies in the world. Of all the things about Neil, my favorite aspect is he's a straight shooter. So today, I'm going to attempt to ask some really good questions and learn as much possible from this conversation. With that, Neil, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Right, let's get started, Neil. You have been dominating the content marketing world for as long as I can remember. In fact, you have helped some of the hegemons like Amazon, eBay, Google, Salesforce, and a lot more in their marketing. So let's start with a little bit of Genesis story, because I'm pretty sure that this will inspire a lot of SaaS marketers listening to the show right now. So Neil, tell us a little bit about when and why did you start your marketing journey? And maybe give us a little bit of glimpse into the way you progressed from being an enterprising first-generation Indian-American to being recognized as one of the top 100 entrepreneurs by the president of the U.S.?
There wasn't like a direct path or a trick or a solution. It was more so that the journey was just continually working for many, many years. I'm 36 right now. I started when I was 15 and a half. So let's say 16, let's round up. I've been doing this for 20 years. The key to doing well and growing in your career, in your business, in marketing, whatever it is you're trying to do, is being patient, doing it long enough, learning from your mistakes. That one's a huge one because people keep making mistakes and the key is to avoid making the same ones over and over again. And just sticking with it for a very long time until you get good and just be patient, right? But that's the key. And I think that's where most people mess up. And what you'll find is there's not one moment that'll help you get an award or help you grow. It's a lot of little things that add up.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Things compound over a period of time. Absolutely. Right. Let's start to geek out a little bit of, a little bit about content marketing. Circling back to, what I said initially in the intro, your content is kind of hard to miss on the internet. And that is regardless of the channel, be it Google or YouTube or Facebook or a podcasting platform. While I know it's not easy, you've been doing it for over two decades. So for marketers and content creators who wake up every day and worry about their content not reaching the right target audience, no matter how hard they try, what would be your probably some specific actionable tips to start with?
Yeah, so if you're having a hard time getting your content out there and getting reach, go after less competitive terms. People are trying to rank number one on Google for terms like credit cards or auto insurance from day one, and it just doesn't work well. Go after long tail terms. You won't get as much traffic, but your content can convert really well because it's around much more targeted keywords. So the first thing I would tell people is start with long tail keywords. The second thing I would tell people with is write unique content. So there's over a billion blogs. That's roughly one blog for every seven people. We don't really need more content. You know, if I Google any term right now, and let's say I Google the term auto insurance, because we just talked about that, right?
Yeah.
So if I look at the term auto insurance, at least inside the United States, there's 165,000 searches a month. There's 7.9 billion results on Google for auto insurance. Google has their prime pickings of content. And this is for any subject, and the ratio is even worse for long tail phrases. So the issue that we're seeing is people are just writing the same regurgitated content. Unless you go out there and write new, unique content, you're not going to do that well. And that's a very important part.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. And so does that work even when the keyword volume is very low? Does that still make sense?
It does, because even if the keyword volume is really low, you can generate one customer that pays for that post 100 times over. I remember I wrote a blog article on how to structure your blog from a domain perspective, whether it should be blog.yourdomain.com or yourdomain.com/blog.
Right.
That article barely gets any traffic. It closed me a seven-figure deal, though.
Wow.
With the enterprise company. So it's just, and that's in B2B, right? In B2C, yes, you ideally want more traffic because you're not going to generate as much of a return, but it really is a numbers game.
Right, right. Makes sense. And one thing that I personally feel almost every day is that I'm not effectively promoting the content that we create. You know, yes, everyone talks about making distribution a part of your content creation process and promoting it in places where people hang out and all of that. But despite doing all of that, it still always feels like a hit or a miss. To give you an example, you know, take this podcast. So we've had people like Seth Godin, Ryan Fishkin, Rory Sutherland, and all of them. They have given such amazing content. But when I repurpose or promote those episodes across different channels and communities that I'm a part of, it does not guarantee that it'll take off. But at the same time, there are other episodes which I never thought would take off, you know, are there in my top 10 organically. So what I would like to hear from you is, how do you consistently hit it out of the park? You know, what are other marketers doing wrong? And what is the secret sauce that you have for this?
Yeah, the way I continually hit it out of the park is I don't. And that's what people, I try to tell people, but the key is, like I said, a numbers game. And some of the posts that you think will do really well don't. And some of the posts that you don't think will do well do really well. And it comes down to a numbers game. Now, that doesn't mean numbers game from a perspective you're going after a lot of visitors. It depends on your niche, but it's more so a numbers game from you're creating a lot of unique content, not regurgitated content, but unique content. And some of it just works out and some of it doesn't.
Right, right. So these days, I see that, you know, there is a lot of influencer marketing that goes into content. Like you involve a lot of people on LinkedIn in the creation process, or people have shout outs and all of that. So would you say that influencer reach out in one way or the other has become a must-have component of content marketing?
It has, because people love connecting with individual brands. So you got to end up doing a manual, quote unquote, how would you call it? You have to end up doing manual outreach and connect with these influencers, build relationships. It really can skyrocket your brand and take it to the next level. And think of influencer outreach as having, you know, popular spokespersons. Michael Jordan is known all around the world. Yeah. If Michael Jordan promotes a sports product, it's more likely to do better. That's an example of the power of influence marketing, but on a smaller scale, because you're not going to have a Michael Jordan promoting your product. You're going to start off much smaller.
Right, right. And what are the options for, say, a startup on a shoestring budget that cannot afford to reach out to these kind of people or hire them for these purposes?
You do collaborations with them. Go after smaller influencers. You promote them, they promote you.
Right, right. More like a partnership program or exchange program, right?
Correct, yes.
Right, right. And since we are on the topic of making the most out of our content assets, let's also segue and talk about a little about paid ads and sponsored content. all of us listening to the show here, they definitely know that merely throwing money at the problem doesn't solve it. So let's take Google Ads or LinkedIn Ads as an example. While there are several schools of thoughts about the effectiveness of, say, display networks, what is your view? Do you believe that display networks still works, or has it now of late become a kind of a scam?
Display networks work really well. There's so many people that use them on a daily basis, right? Because display networks can show your content or your ads on anyone else's content or their site, depending on if they're part of that display network. But it works well. You know, at our ad agency, we manage tons of money, like literally millions and millions of dollars a day. And when we look at the numbers, you know, these display networks work. Google would have never bought DoubleClick if it didn't.
Right, right. So would you say it makes more sense for retargeting or prospecting itself?
It makes sense for both.
I think it's a good time to take a moment and thank the HubSpot Podcast Network. Being part of the HubSpot Podcast Network means we now have a behind-the-scenes look into the world's number one CRM platform and get to share new information and features that are helping businesses like yours stay connected to their customers, goals, and teams. With improved forecasting tools and custom report builders, you can see how your quarter is going, inspect new deals, and use customizable data-driven reports to improve team performance as you grow. With custom behavioral events, you can track site behavior and understand your customers' buying habits all within the platform. And if you're looking for cleaner data with a centralized system, the all-new Operations Hub Enterprise gives your ops leads the ability to curate datasets for all users, meaning even faster and more consistent reporting. Learn more about how the HubSpot CRM platform can help connect the dots for your business at HubSpot.com. And what kind of goals do we set in a typical B2B SaaS kind of a company while using these display ads, say on a platform like LinkedIn? Should we push more of people come and consume this content, or should it be like scheduling a demo or trying to use a product, free sign up or something like that?
In B2B, you would test it all. It depends on your price point. And for a very cheap product, sign up or free trial, or if it's a higher ticket price point, schedule a demo, lead form, book a call. You know, you would have to test and see what converts the best.
Right, right. The reason I ask this is because, you know, sometimes it makes sense for people to consume certain pieces of content and understand how your product works. Let's take Ahrefs for an example. You know, everybody who signs up for that product, they absolutely know how the platform works. So, you know, signing up happens after a lot of knowledge about how the platform works.
Not everyone. A lot of people sign up for Ahrefs, hear about it in a blog article, and they don't know how to use it. It's like that with all businesses. I get in the industry that we're in a bubble and we think the majority of people may understand, but all businesses have customers who don't understand the product when they sign up. What portion varies, but all businesses do.
Right, right. Makes sense. Because I got a little carried away because they have this 7-day trial that goes at a price of $7, which goes to say exactly the opposite, right? So that's why I was like, maybe that's the reason.
Yeah, well, their 7-day trial was more so, hey, try it out for $7, and that way you can test out the product and see what you like. But a lot of people who try it out for $7 have never used a product, nor do they know
right,
how it works.
Right.
And that's why they offer that.
Yeah, makes sense. Right, Neil, here's a genuine question. You know, in many ways, SEO looks like a zero-sum game, in the sense like somebody has to lose and be pushed back to the, say, second or fourth or tenth place for somebody else to rank on top. So if you and I were competing for ranking for a specific set of content piece, or maybe a set of 5 keywords, for example, I know for sure that given my current skill set, budget, and approach, I wouldn't bet on trying to outrank you. So in such a case, this goes back to the original discussion that we had as well. So should I still go on and create that content piece and compete, or is it better off that I just stick to my long tail keywords despite the search being low, so that I just focus on my conversions?
Go after the long tail keywords, get the conversions, and then once you start doing really well and you've tackled most of them, start going after the head terms that are more competitive. Eventually, you'll do them both.
Right, right. So, but what about the other school of thought that says that, hey, drive your brand presence through your different pieces of content and bring your CAC down over a period of time?
Either one. Look, at the end of the day, I've done both approaches and I've seen low CAC. We have content that is very broad, and we have really low CAC, and our CAC is less than 2 months.
Wow, that is amazing. Right, so with that, let's move to the next section of the conversation that we call as the rapid fire section. What I'm going to do in this section is shoot 5 lightning questions at you. The questions might be short, but the answers need not be. So let's see how it goes. So are you ready for that?
Sure.
All right, so here's question number one. What's one thing that you wish marketers in general would stop doing?
Emailing paid links. Like, I get so many spam emails every single day saying you can buy links on these websites. I literally wake up every morning and I probably get like 13, 14 of them. I have no idea how they find my email address, but I keep blocking them and marking it as spam, but they keep rotating up their email address and I keep getting more.
Right. And it's funny that all these emails end up landing in the primary inbox and not promotions. I don't know how.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So here's question number two. You've been in marketing for over 20 years, and I'm sure you've had a lot of change in perception about several things through the years. But has there been one thing that you were right about all the way?
No. The only thing that I was probably right about, but it wasn't just me, it was everyone, is I felt that the world was going to shift from traditional marketing to online.
Right.
Right. And yeah, it has. But everyone knew that it was a big trend for many, many years. I saw this not 20 years ago. I saw this like 15 years ago. And I just kept riding it and pushing really hard. But that's probably the biggest thing I was right on. But a lot of people saw that as well. The writing was on the wall.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I agree. Here's question number three. You seem to have a knack of having some amazing co-founders, be it Eric Hsu or Hiten Shah. What's one important quality that you look for in a co-founder?
They can do the opposite of you.
Right.
So if I'm good at marketing, like my co-founder, my ad agency, NP Digital, is a guy named Mike Camo. He's really good at operations and sales. I'm really good at marketing. We are a good fit from that perspective.
Right, right. So filling the gaps. Perfect. Right. So here's question number four. You obviously have built a really good personal brand for yourself, which I'm sure gets you a lot of attention when you're in public places, say in airports and all of that. Can you talk about, say, a funny or memorable incident of somebody recognizing you in public? And what was the topic of that interaction?
I haven't really had like a funny or awkward moment, but most people come up when I do get the interaction. They say hi. Some people ask for a picture. And some people may just ask me a question related towards their business. And I try to always do my best and I answer it. I think every single time someone's come up to me, I've answered it. Other than when I was at the airport and I had to board my flight and they were about to close the door. And I'm like, I really want to answer this. You can email me. I'm so sorry. I can't miss my flight. So, but they understood. They're really nice about it.
No, that's really amazing. You know, looking at somebody at the airport rushing and asking a business question, I cannot imagine that without building context. But yeah, that's amazing. Right. So here's the final one. What's one thing in marketing that you will keep an eye out for in 2022, given that the world is slowly and steadily recovering from COVID?
Yeah, one thing I'm looking forward to in 2022 is see how creative people get with CRO. And here's what I mean by that. Ad costs are through the roof. SEO takes longer. Content costs are through the roof. Inflation has hit. You got to figure out how to make your conversions generate more, or you got to figure out how to convert more of your traffic into visitors. And we all do A/B testing. We all know funnels and upsells and downsells. But, you know, 10 years ago, no one was talking about funnels. 10 years ago, people were starting to talk about A/B testing, but it still hasn't taken mass adoption. I'm curious to see what tests people start running and getting creative to juice their conversions, which makes the numbers work out better for people. Because then I think you're going to start seeing a lot more adopters. And what's funny is that's going to drive up the ad costs even.
Right, right. That's amazing. And because you said this, I just wanted to add a bonus question that just came to my mind. What is your view of PLG, that is product-led growth?
So when I look at product-led growth, like Dropbox is a great example of product-led growth. Facebook is as well. I'm a huge evangelist for product-led growth, and there's many ways to end up doing it. I don't know if it works for every single company, but it works for the majority of companies. Even if you don't have a quote-unquote SaaS product, yeah, or a website, you can figure out more ways to grow, and you just have to get creative. Yeah. But I love it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we realized in the process is that, you know, in especially in my case, I work for a company called Avoma. And what we realized in that journey is that having purely product-led was not helping us. So we decided to create a model where it's product-led and sales-assisted. So there are going to be a set of people who want to sign up and use the product on their own. At the same time, there are also going to be a set of people who would like to get demoed, get their questions answered and all of that. So we just created two different ways to do that.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Neil, you hit all the five questions out of the park. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for that. But before I say my thank yous and, you know, let you go for the rest of the day, I would like to ask you, is there a parting message that you would like to share with our audience? To give you the context, our audience is predominantly a bunch of B2B sales and marketing people with at least about 5+ years of experience in SaaS.
Keep running experiments every single week. If you can run an experiment every week, you'll eventually learn what works and what doesn't.
Wow. That's been, I think, the theme of several things that you shared today. So yeah, that's fantastic. And where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
NeilPatel.com or my ad agency, NP Digital.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you so much, Neil. I think we covered a lot of things, a lot of ground in this episode in a very short span. I really loved every single aspect that you said. And I think I'm going to go back and probably repurpose this entire conversation into a blog post and, you know, expand it further. So really, really appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And for the listeners, that's that from us in this episode. And until we connect with you the next time with another topic and another guest, this is bye from me, Yag. Have a good day and take care.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.